Our scripture tonight is Luke 24, 13 to 32. Luke 24, 13 to 32. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which was that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he had made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the third day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? With a scripture on our mind, let us pray.
We're going to be jumping around a little bit in scripture, but it would be good if you would keep your Bibles open to this scripture in Luke 24. This is a little off the subject, but I thought it might be worth telling you, or saying it at least. I'll have to think a little how to say this. All of history is dated AD, isn't it? It used to be BC, before Christ, and AD. I thought it ought to be after Christ, but it's AD, and that really means Anno Domino, and it's a phrase which means the year in the year of the Lord. So people are using the timetable from Jesus. I wonder how long they'll try and change that. But we do have that yet. We want to look tonight at heartburn. Heartburn. Did you ever have heartburn? Physically or spiritually? Or should I have had spiritual heartburn, but I didn't? We find tonight in the scripture one word, at least two words, heartburn. And we want to just look at it as one word, heartburn. And as I thought about that, I thought about David back in 1 Chronicles, and I might just read that a little bit here. David was decided to number all the children of Israel. The Lord didn't want that, but he did it anyhow. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times, so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" Nevertheless, at the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. He numbered the people of Israel. Now verse 7, "And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee, either 3 years' famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." Now this is the verse that I'd like us to get. "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall nigh into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of men." I believe David had heartburn that time. He had to choose, and not any of those 3 things were very nice. But David said, I am in a great strait. So I thought it's a good example of heartburn. Heartburn, going against the Lord, when he tells us to do something and we don't. Heartburn. Our heart burns within us. How often we could have avoided heartburn if we would have listened to the word. Or even some of the good advice we get from brothers and sisters. Heartburn. We want to look a little bit here at these verses. Two of them went there that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or probably about 7 miles. So they walked about 7 miles. Why was Jesus going that way? Why did he go that way to and be with them? I guess that we will never know for sure. But they talked together of all these things which had happened. And of course, they were probably talking together and walking and talking and discussing these things that were happening at Jerusalem. But then in verse 15, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I say, I don't know why he chose to go that way. And I looked on the map, and it's kind of a northwest. Emmaus is northwest of Jerusalem. So I'm not sure why he was going that way. Maybe he was already on his walk, that he was going to go back to there to see the rest of the disciples. And even it says that he returned in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So it was more than just the 11 that were there at Jerusalem at that time. Now they heard a lot of things. Verse 14 talks about a lot of things going on in Jerusalem. Jesus' resurrection caused a lot of attention. Imagine them walking and talking like they did. We can probably just think of them doing that. And then verse 15 says, could it be that Jesus just happened to come on with them? I'm not sure about that, but anyhow, he did. He joined himself with them, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, he had their eyes closed that they couldn't see their eyes were closed. Not closed blind, but that they just couldn't see him, who he was. And I think about that, and I think about Jesus has power to close eyes as well as he has to open them. Now, this wasn't blindness as we know it, but that they would not know him. Jesus, no doubt, wanted to hear what they would say. And so verse 17 then says, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Probably they hadn't gone along to see the empty tomb. I'm not sure about that. But they had a sad look. They looked kind of sad. And I guess we all would if we expected Jesus to be our deliverer. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that deliverance after a while. The first resurrection day began with gloom and despair for the disciples of the Lord. 3 days earlier, their master had been crucified and buried. And we can imagine them huddled together behind closed doors as they mourned and wept. But John tells us in one of his last chapters that the disciples were glad when they found out that Jesus was alive. They were glad. They didn't mourn and weep anymore. What made the difference? Seeing their resurrected Lord made all the difference. It changed mourning into gladness and weeping into joy. There is still a deeper and a greater lesson here, though. All their mourning and weeping had been unnecessary. Jesus didn't really sympathize with them, but he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart in Mark 16. His enemies remembered. We're going to look at that a little bit later, too. What his enemies, how they put a guard there at the grave. But they were filled with sorrow because they didn't believe his promise. We have a wonderful promise today. Because he lives, we can live. We're going to live. We're going to be raised. And we had some of that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered unto him, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now we have the name of one, Cleopas, and many Bible scholars think it was Cleopas and his wife. We're not sure about that. Didn't you hear the talk of the town? Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? We have big news. Why? And he said unto them, what things? And then they explained to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then in verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. They just rehearsed what they had heard back in Jerusalem. You know, you and I serve a mighty one, a mighty person. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. I wonder how he looked or felt when these two told him all about this, and he already knew it. He was the one, a mighty one. In verse 20 and 21, how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, have crucified him, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now I said that he expected Jesus to be the deliverer, but a different deliverer than we believe in. They just wanted a natural deliverer. And he is our deliverer today, only different. He can deliver us from sin and eternal death. Isn't that wonderful? He is a deliverer. But it's not the deliverer that they had wanted. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. You know, they were kind of brave women. I could just imagine him going to the tomb and the guard being there. A guard of, I don't know how many was in that guard, but they were protecting the grave. Mark says they came to anoint Jesus. Maybe they didn't even know it was a guard there. I'm not sure about that either. But they found nobody there in that grave but angels to talk to them. Now this was really puzzling to them. Why was it so hard for them to believe that Christ arose? Surely some of them would have seen Lazarus raised, and some of them would have saw the widow of Nain's son raised. And he escaped death before. Why was it so hard? I don't know why it was so hard for them to believe, but a couple times Jesus had told them about his death and resurrection. Lots of things stand out about the resurrection to me, but I'd just like to expound on two things that have to do with the resurrection. And one of them is Mary meeting Jesus. Mary came to the tomb, saw Jesus, but didn't know him. But then when he said her name, or when he said Rabboni, which means, he called her name Mary. He called Mary in John 20, verse 16, I believe it is. And Rabboni, she said, means master. And to me, that's beautiful. You know, I think it's in Revelation 20, maybe. I'm not sure which chapter. It says that there's going to be a book opened, and he's going to call our name. He's going to see our name in that book. Hopefully, our name will be there. And I think that'll be wonderful if when he opens the book and our name is written there. We have a song even, I think, a hymn that says, "Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there." And then the last verse says, "Yes, my name is written there." And I think that'll be a wonderful thing. And also here, Mary wanted to cling fast to him. And that often puzzled me. Don't cling to me. But yet others did. I think that he's really saying to her, don't cling to me. I have some things to do yet. I suppose Mary didn't want him to leave again. She didn't want to see him leave. And maybe that's why she wanted to cling to him or touch him. And I think he tells her not to touch him there. But that really means don't cling to me. And the other thing I think about is the guards, the keepers. It's almost funny how they handled things. In Matthew 27, 64 to 66, maybe we'll turn to that. Matthew Matthew 27. This was Pilate. The guard said, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate saith unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." Now listen to this. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone. Sealing the stone and setting a watch. So they did two things. Besides being guards for the tomb. They sealed the stone, they set a watch. You know, it almost seems like they believed more than Jesus' own followers did. And I suppose the guards were awake the first two nights. But I guess the sleep overtook them. And I'm just guessing this. The third night they slept. And I'm not sure why they did that. Maybe they slept before. But I can see that they were really watching that Jesus' body would stay in that tomb. How could they stay sleeping when there was an earthquake? Or the rumbling of that stone? I wonder if God didn't make them sleep deeply, that they didn't hear that. But you know what? This makes the resurrection more real. The guards accused the disciples of stealing Jesus' body. How would they know that if they were sleeping? And I suppose that they were affrighted at an angel. And I would think they pretty soon left. They left that tomb. They didn't stay around, and I think that's why the women didn't see them, or it didn't stop them at least. To me, it's really, really something the way they tried to seal and keep the tomb secure, but it didn't matter how, they couldn't. Jesus rose. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. I suppose it didn't seem long to get there with Jesus speaking to him like he did, and telling them all about, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So he gave that all that to them, spoke all that to them, And I suppose it wasn't, oh, it didn't seem long till they were at their house. But verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Now, why was he breaking the bread and giving to them? You know what I believe? Did they see his nail-scarred hands when he broke bread? Was it just speaking to them that they knew it was Jesus? Or did Jesus just open their eyes? How do we know him? We have no question that he arose. The Word tells us how to get saved and how to keep saved. So the Word is alive, just as Jesus is. And then verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? They had heartburn. Did we all invite him in, or do we have heartburn? You know, when we gather together, we are in Jesus' presence. If we think about all we have to do this week, we'll leave with heartburn. If we don't feed our soul, we are going to have heartburn. It takes more to bring a Christian to being a Christian than just exposure to facts concerning Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. There is only one way that anyone can appreciate the truths of God and know the Savior in a real way: being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit, and show it by our walk and talk and manner of living. Deeply interested in spiritual things. You know, many people claim to be walking with Jesus, but their life doesn't show it. The two of Emmaus reasoned with their minds, but God spoke to their hearts. You know, verse 33, that's a little further than our brother read. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. It was probably dark. And they returned. They didn't have no sleep in them anymore. I would imagine I wouldn't have either if Jesus would have walked beside me. It must have been a wonderful time. No sleep in them now. You know, it makes a difference when our eyes and our ears are open. In verse 25, they were slow of heart to believe. Now they were ready to share what they had been with Jesus. Those 7 miles back didn't seem long anymore. They had a true story to tell. They met with the disciples and others, the scripture says here, and they shared what they saw, their being with Jesus. (Clears throat) And then Jesus came in their midst, and he spoke peace a number of times. You know, he speaks peace to us a number of times. I think of John 14:27 as one of them. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. It's a different kind of peace. Who has power to be loved and obeyed like Jesus? Who else could tell his followers to go to the ends of the earth and proclaim a message without guaranteed pay? Or experience persecution and ridicule and still have many obey him? Just think about that. Who else could say, after I'm gone, have a memorial service in remembrance of my death until I come again, and continue to practice it very long? But Jesus did. Someone has said, and I agree, if we make room in our hearts, he will make room for us in heaven. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. I know just how this saving faith to me he did impart, and how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor will I walk the vale with him, but meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'd like for Nelson to lead that in a closing song. Do you have heartburn? Jesus can take care of it. He can lift us out of the miry clay and set us free. My Jesus can do that. My Savior. My Deliverer. Okay. Can you read, sing that now?
Spiritual heartburn. As Brother Robert was speaking tonight, I wondered if I would have been one of those disciples there along the road, how I would have felt after I knew that we were with Jesus all the time. And then I thought too, has there been times in my life, or maybe you want to think about that too, things that happened in your life, later on you realize that Jesus was there and I didn't recognize him. We had a good day. We had good service tonight. And we want to thank God for all these blessings. And let's stand for a closing prayer.